Today's episode of the Inside EVs podcast is brought to you by E-Range EV Tyre. E-Range EV tyres are specifically engineered for electric vehicles. Using an advanced manufacturing process called liquid phase mixing, E-Range EV's EcoPoint 3 technology creates a tyre with lower rolling resistance and longer range, while offering low levels of wear and high grip. All this while staying affordable. Go to erangetyres.com. That's E-R-A-N-G-E tyres.com to find your EV's next set of tyres.
Hello, it's January the 12th and it feels very much like the Monday of the year. January, it's a bit grim outside, it's a bit cold and the memories of the holidays are long gone. But it's okay because it's Friday, which means it's Inside EV's podcast time, and that's very exciting. As ever, I'm your host, Alex Goy, joined by mega brains that are Patrick George, the boss man, Ms. Go Electric, Lacey and Hazel Southwell. Hi, friends. How are we?
Great, honey. Great.
We're
nearly halfway through January, so that's
which means it'll then be time for February, which is very much the Tuesday of the year, far away from fun and still a bit boring. But
it's nearly Aquarius season.
Is that good,
Ooh,
or does that mean we get a delicious seafood dinner?
It's time to move to another country, change your name, like whatever.
Considering. So this week we have so much news, it's untrue, but we should probably kick off with CES, where Patrick was. So before we do the EV news bumpery thing, Patrick, how was CES and how much plague have you got?
CES was a heck of a time. We all had a blast there. I'm astounded I haven't gotten COVID yet, but we'll see as the days go on. I was there recovering from some holiday sinus gunk and lost my voice, which made interviews a lot of fun. Lacey, you were there at CES too. How is it on your end?
I'm still here, so I am going to be going through the main hall today. I got here a day later than I wanted to, but it's all right. I went through the Venetian Expo portion of it, which is where, I mean, there's so many exhibits. I can't even like convey, if you've never been to the Consumer Electronics Show, how huge this show is and how much there is to see. But I saw some like extremely cool e-mobility stuff already yesterday. So I got to demo some stuff, which was pretty cool. So I'm going to put up some videos hopefully within the next day or two to show those off, but it's a blast so far.
I am bummed that I was unable to secure funding for my autonomous underwater hydrogen powered scooter startup, but you know, there's always next year, you know.
Give it time.
Always.
I just don't appreciate all the media reports that say it's, quote, extremely dangerous to wildlife. You know, what do those people know?
It's only got 3 macerators on the front and 6 on the back. It's fine.
They have no right to stand in my way of scale, you know?
Listen, if you need to put hydrogen under pressure, which means you need to use a methanol reformer, so you're just pumping CO2 into the ocean, screw those fish.
Yeah. We'll be fish next time.
They like it. And without further ado, it is time for EV News. Oh my, there is so much from CES. It made my tiny, tiny, wrinkle-free brain hurt. But let's kick off with Honda. Honda has bought 2 concepts under the Honda Zero badge. It's planning 30 new EVs by 2030, and it's going to go zero emissions only in the US by 2040. So a bit of a way, but at least it's a big old promise. Now, there are two concepts. The most interesting to me, at least, is the Saloon, partly because it looks very futuristic, very Blade Runner-y, but also because it looks like a giant electric razor. It's due in some way, shape or form by 2026. It runs on its own dedicated platform. Its interior is full of sustainable materials. It's got yoke steering. It's got steer by wire, which promises variable ratio steering, which has been around for a while, but it's still kind of finding its feet. So let's start with that one before we move on to the Space Hub. What do we think of the Saloon, friends?
I saw this in person, and as a concept, it looks really rad. Like, I really like the design of it because it reminds me of concept cars. Like, from when I was a kid, honestly, like, low slung, kind of wedge-like. It looks like this sort of, like, 80s, 90s vision of the future, which I'm a fan of. But then Honda says, oh, no, when it goes to production, it's going to look a lot like this. And we're like, because it's just not very Honda-like. I mean, it's like, that's not, I don't think that's your next Accord, this thing right here. I mean, I could be wrong, but like, they also have no details on pricing, battery, specs, range, anything they want to do. They're just, we're doing EVs and they look like this and trust us. It's like, I don't know.
I mean, the fact it doesn't look like your average Honda, let's face it, probably a good thing, considering the recent product has been largely anonymous box.
That's kind of always been their aesthetic-ish. Like, it's not like an astounding company for design, despite their many other qualities. I mean, you know, Lacey, I don't know if you've seen this in person yet, or if our British pals have just seen it from afar. What do you guys think?
I haven't seen it in person yet, but I'm going to see it today. I think it very much gives me like Lamborghini stance, like vibes. I don't know. Like, when I look at from that side profile, I'm like, that is like very Lambo style to me. I don't know. I actually, you know, there's a note I want to make about these concept cars, because we're seeing like so many EV concepts come out in the last like year or two or whatever. And I actually like it from some brands, but I don't like it from other brands. And I will say, I'm not against it from Honda, because they say they're going to make a production version of this. So there are some brands like Audi who have put out like 6 concept cars, and it's like, nothing has happened.
Screw this.
Nothing
space
is coming.
They're horrible.
And yeah, but then there are like, you know, brands like Kia or Honda or whatnot, Ford, a lot of times they'll put out a concept and there will be some kind of production version of it. So I don't know. I think it's kind of cool, like what they're attempting to do with it. And hopefully, you know, since this is going to be their own EV, I mean, time will tell how they will do, but it's not a good start when your Prologue and the ZDX are relying on another OEM, which is struggling in order to produce their first batch of EVs. So hopefully this will be a good sign that they can actually come out with some production cars. I don't know, coming out with a Saloon or like a low slung sedan is the, you know, big, it looks full size. Is it full size, Patrick?
Yeah. How big is it? I mean, you are a very tall man.
Like, it's like, I think bigger than an Accord, like longer, you know, like it's not like gigantic, but it's like a, you know, mid-sized to full-size sedan, I guess, you know, real hot selling segment, those two, you know?
Right.
So yeah, alongside the Saloon, they also brought out the Space Hub concept, which the story on Inside EV is described as a rounded van looking thing. It's got two rows of seats. Yes, it's got two rows of seats that face one another. And very little else has been said about it. Kind of to go back to what the Zero cars will be. It's in-house tech, lightweight packaging, dense batteries, 15% to 80% charge, they say, in 10 to 15 minutes. The cells themselves won't degrade less than 10% in a decade. And obviously there's the whole tranche of AI this and AI tech and automated driving. And of course, they've got the new H logo, which considering on, at least in Europe, there's a new Honda sort of H on its cars over here, but there's a new take on the new H. So what do we think about the Space Hub, and what do we think about Honda's promises for the Zero cars?
So I used to work for Honda. But a slightly offbeat bit of Honda. And I disagree with Patrick. I think these look really Honda. Like, these look really like Honda's internal philosophy and design language, which is this sort of simplicity and kind of, like, I actually think their more boring cars look non Hondury. Whereas like this, these things and the Honda E, which was meant to kind of showcase what was going to be their concept for what they were going to bring out in terms of electrification. And then they've sort of completely reversed on that.
They kind of screwed.
Whereas these do look like an evolution of that. These look like a more extreme version of the Honda E. And I think it's, they fit into both in the sense they're kind of normal sized vehicles. Like Patrick said, like it's a large sedan and what's basically a people carrier, this is very much a high tech Espace. I like these. I sort of wish they were a bit more bonkers. As I was bemoaning last night, it's been like getting on for three decades since someone whipped out an EV concept with a ball pond in the back. And it's about time someone cracked that one out again. These are very Honda, and the high tech stuff. Honda doesn't tend to lie. There's a sort of there's a lot of internal philosophy to the company, and things like saying we're going to have these batteries, this performance, this whatever, is stuff that it probably wouldn't say if it didn't think it had. And not just that it thinks it can do it, but that like it actually has the technology somewhere and it's patented and like it, they're just
so, I guess,
production.
If correct me if I'm wrong, so essentially where a lot of other companies would say, look at this magical thing we can do, it's Honda going, no, we're going to do this, it's just here's the shiny bit, and there's actual there's authority behind it.
Yeah, which is partly why Honda always looks really slow. Like I don't want to sound like I'm sucking up to Honda here. Like Honda often looks really gormless, and like it's completely unreactive because it waits so long to be certain about things. Mm-hmm. I think there's a lot of things to like about these. They're quite cute.
The salute. I long for a world where all the cars that roll by my window look like the Honda Saloon. That is absolutely banging. The
like
space.
It's gonna hoover up all the leaves on your street as it goes past.
And I'm okay with that. The space hub with its weird bottom, I could take or leave, but let's wait for production intent. Anyway, as we have loads and loads of news to talk about, let's skip on ever so slightly to Kia. Now, Kia at CES brought out the Platform Beyond Vehicle, or PBV, which sounds a little bit like an acronym for an STI. It's a transforming modular EV thing. Basically designed to be the work vehicles of the future. They brought with them the ones.
It's a van with sunglasses on.
Yes.
The work vehicle of the future.
The work vehicle of the future. They brought the PV 1, 5, and 7. 1 is the smallest one. 7 is the biggest one. The idea is that they can be used as vans, cabs, autonomous pods eventually. They come with fleet management software built in. At the show, they brought the PV. They brought the PV 5 in 4 variants. So basic, a van, a through roof, and a chassis cab. The cool thing about it is that you can swap the bodies as you go. Now, I don't know the actual practicality of it, but the example that wonderful Patrick here used in the story is that during the day, you can have it as a cab, and then you take it to somewhere, and they'll swap one body out, and then you can use it as a van, and it is held in place by magnets, which is really cool, electromagnets. The plan is to have it as a robo-taxi eventually. And yeah, with either end of the scale. So the PV1, shorter range, more agile, can get round tight corners quicker, can do U-turns, whatever. PV7, massive, long range, loads of load space, that kind of jam. And they're not, these aren't just concepts that they're going, oh, this is a thing. Have an imaginary blob. In 2025, the PBV dedicated plant will be going live in Korea, where they're going to be built. Patrick, you've seen them. I hope you've smelt them. What did they smell like?
I think these are really neat. I was a huge fan of these. And this is one thing I like about Hyundai Kia's, like we just said it with Honda, but I think they're actually better at doing this right now. Is when they say they're going to do something, they actually do it. And like, these are not just the blob concepts. They are going to be a reality. I think we're writing about this later, but you know, Kia told Tim Levin, one of our reporters at Inside EVs, like, first couple model years, that modular transforming stuff may not be what they're doing right away, but like, this is what they want to do, but they are definitely making the vans. And it's a whole new commercial business for Kia too. It's like fleet management with software, and it's like, autonomy eventually. So like, this is like a whole line of stuff they're getting into, is like a cross between Google's Waymo and like Rivian's commercial van business. Also at CES, if you happen to be there, they have this display set up where they have these little models of that show the car transforming and how it works, like this conveyor belt, like T-shaped conveyor belt system.
As it transforms, does it go?
Yeah,
Patrick. As it transforms, does it go?
It should, like, and I brought that up to Kia, and they asked me to go away, which is how they usually treat me. I don't know if that's going to happen at like a dedicated facility, or if that's supposed to, you're supposed to retrofit your garage to do that for the transforming. I kind of doubt it, but it's a really neat idea, and like, we're seeing this, the bodies change on this the way that they're planning to. It's really fascinating. Like, there's been, you know, there have been attempts at modular cars for decades now, or ideas. No one's ever really pulled it off, and maybe they're onto something here. So I'm a fan.
And the modular, like, changing body style thing kind of reminds me, if you cast your memory back many, many moons, was it the GM Highwire, which was the skateboardy thing that just had one wire that plugged in? That's now, I think it's now at the Ford Museum in Detroit, and it was a good idea. How much of, I mean, the high wire never happened. It was a nice idea, but never did. So how realistic do you really think, like, swapping your PV5 from a cab to a van would be?
You know, go ahead.
I'm, as the podcast former Soviet Union correspondent, I know perfectly well that you can get any van and turn it into anything. Like, that can be a bus. that can be
a bigger bus.
you can slam two vans together and make them into whatever. You know, the Marsh Rutgers, like, this is a high-tech version of the Marsh Rutgers system, and I, for one, applaud it. Do I think it will ever be approved for road safety? Absolutely not. Also, imagine swapping the body off a car or a vehicle that's been used for any form of work or had people in it, and, like, how much crud will be.
Yeah, I'm just looking at the pictures going by on the stream. You've got all the runners for the seats. Now imagine a day or a night of drunk people in your PV5 cab with all the crumbs and chunks of stomach lining that would have found their way after a busy Friday night ferrying people around the West End, and then trying to swap that out for a van the next day. But like, it's a cool thing. And also, they say that
it's all right. You can just get that Honda to Hoover it up. It's fine.
Yes, they say that the there's no welding on the bodies as well. It's just a seamless box. Is that right, Patrick?
Yeah, that's correct. Which is, like, you know, I think you're seeing some sort of that's a manufacturing technique we're starting to see versions of as they're trying to roll out EVs at scale. But it is, they said, it's a seamless body. It's something that I wanted us to dig more into, how this construction method is going to work in the future. Because for a little background, we're talking about, you know, weld-free bodies and like gigacasting. It's like, the idea is, you know, I think that a lot of the auto industry is freaked out by China's ability to just crank out cars like crazy, just scale. And they're evolving their manufacturing techniques to sort of counter that. And this is, I think, an example of that being put to use in some ways. So this, like I said, this is all around, this is a really neat product, not just from the design, but the fact that it's a new business for Kia, the way it's manufactured, a really interesting thing at work here, you know?
Lacey, have you had a chance to see them yet?
I haven't seen them yet, but I love the concept of these. Actually, I had some people post, because when the story came out, I had posted something on X about it, and people were like, they're ripping off Canoe, and which is funny, because they're not the same, but it's unfortunate Canoe can't really get their feet off the ground and do what Kia could do. So I'm excited to see something come to life of this form that we've kind of heard rumblings of in the business for a while. But to me, I think that this just like solidifies for me that the Hyundai Group is like doing so much in the EV space. And it's incredible, not only from like, you know, just the consumer EVs that they have on the marketplace, but now going into this commercial division. And also they have an eVTOL on display here at CES. They had revealed one a few years ago when I was at CES in 2020, but they actually have like what is going to be like a pre-production model, as far as I understand here. So like they're getting into the regional air transport too.
Forgive my cynicism, because I may have seen a few companies who have gone, we're going to make a flying car. And then people go, okay, how's the licensing work? How are you going to make it? So is this thing, what's the idea behind that? Very quickly diverting from Kia.
Go ahead, Patrick.
I would just say, well, Alex, you see, flying cars are only 2 years away. And they've been telling us that since about 2011. But I think now it's really true. So just
you've just got to look up Mr. Moller and his Sky car that was in the back of the innovations catalog when I was 14, and I'm not 14 anymore.
They have like the XPeng here. Did you see that, Patrick? Where the or I'm sorry if I'm pronouncing it wrong, but in my mind, I see an X. It's XPeng, but it's the Chinese brand, and they have like legit a flying car. Like it's a car with like helicopter blades coming out of it. It's crazy. Now that is a little ridiculous. I do think that eVTOLs are going to happen. Like there's a lot of procedures that, as you know, with the FAA, there's a lot of regulations, and it's one of the safest forms of getting like certifications, and that industry is like really strict on regulations. So there are actually companies that have done first flights and stuff. Obviously scaling up and being able to actually get it done is another story. But like from what I've read over the course of the few years that this has been introduced, like the steps are actually happening to make it towards that. Now, initially when Hyundai came out with this eVTOL, they were going to partner with Uber Elevate, and then Uber Elevate sold to Joby. But Joby has a big investment from Stellantis, I believe. So they're actually going to be able to like produce, like manufacture them with a partner. But anyways, this is a long side rant. I think it's cool that Hyundai Group, including Kia, are going on these different paths to expand their EV business. And they also had a booth, 01, which is Hyundai Kia's innovation like incubator. And they had a lot of really cool like recycled battery programs that they have huge investments in. Like this is a 15% stake in this company where they're recycling the batteries. They're refitting them so that you can technically buy like a used EV battery from them. And then there's like water battery technology I saw there. So it's just like, they're all in, and I love to see this.
I think I have kind of a theory about a lot of the stuff we saw at CES, and what we're going to talk about is more of this later in the podcast too. It's a little bit of like, there's like tech FOMO with the car companies, right? Like, I think that they look at the future like long term, and don't know what the hell they're going to be. Like, they make engines and cars, they sell to individual people, but it's like they don't want to lose out. Like, if eVTOLs or flying cars become a thing, you know, Toyota, Hyundai, all of them, Stellantis, they want to be there. If autonomy becomes a thing, they want to be there. If AI becomes a big thing, which we'll talk about in a little bit, they want to be there. And like, you see a lot of this at CES. It's like, we don't know exactly what the future is, but we know it's probably not just going to be us selling, you know, internal combustion engine cars to one person all of the time. And like, we're trying to just plant a lot of flags and see what shakes out. And, you know, I think that there was after seeing like those Honda concepts, like I walked out in the street in Vegas because I need some fresh air. And I saw somebody with like a brand new like Subaru Outback still on the dealer plates. I'm like, this stuff that's a very normal car we're buying right now, like a very normal car with a screen that's like not that it's fine, it's got a regular engine, and it's the stuff that we're talking about and see at CES is so far afield of now, but it's like that's where they're trying to go, I think, is if you understand that, you kind of understand CES a little bit better, I think.
If we bring it back to Earth a little bit from the flying car to, oh my, how cheap, how cute, VinFast, not known for its reliability or brilliance. I think that can be that's a fair thing to say. VinFast bought two cars to CES. One of them, is not as interesting as the VF3, which is a teeny tiny, like proper teeny tiny, EV SUV kind of thing. The headlines really is that it's going to be allegedly sub $20,000. It's 126 inches long, 66 wide, if my notes to be believed, and 64 inches high, which makes it smaller ish than a Bolt EV, but also, for those of us, those of you not in the US, smaller than a Jimny, a Suzuki Jimny, one of the best cars ever.
I was going to say, we all love the Dromnus.
I think they're brilliant. They say it'll do 125 miles on a charge. It's got a 10-inch infotainment screen with all the Apple CarPlay, Android Auto stuff. With the rear seats down, you can get 19.5 cubic feet worth of stuff, or 550 litres. So with the rear seats down, you've basically got a Volkswagen Golf's boot of stuff. If I didn't know what I knew about how woeful VinFast vehicles are, I would think that's one of the best things in the world, the VF3. I think it looks so cool. But it's also, I will happily eat my words, but it's also probably going to be quite rubbish.
if Kia had come out with this, I would be so hype.
Hands down, they'd have an order.
Like supposing MG, which is a British car company, they're currently making,
are they?
Genuinely very good EV. Like if they'd come out with this, I'd be like, okay, fair play. They're probably going to make it. VinFast, there's a lot of cynicism, particularly from auto journalists, because they have a tendency to be really weird and not deliver on things. So, which is very disappointing, because I really want this to exist. I demand that someone takes me on a really rubbish date, and then I want to do like inept teenage things in this car.
I love the specifics of that.
Yeah, I mean, family show. Yeah. but I dig it. Like, go to a field, listen to Pink Floyd, and watch the stars, and then run the battery down.
Absolutely.
And have a terrible picnic of things got from the petrol station. Actually, no, you don't need to go to a petrol station. Thing from the nearest charging hub. So a Macca's probably. Americans, do you think this would work in the US of A?
I'll just say I've never thought about people hooking up at charging stations, but it makes a lot of sense because you've got nothing else to do.
I mean, you've got 40 minutes in a secluded area.
We'll explore this later.
No, Patrick, no, I will not.
Family show.
Look, I think there's an article in this, like the best charging spots to Mac at. Like,
yeah, for Playboy, possibly.
I mean, that is something while you're waiting to hit that 80% on the DC fast charger. I did see this, and I agree with all of you. I like the design. I think that the success of the Bolt and also like the Model 3 in America proves that like people really want affordable EVs. And VinFast says it's sub 20K, which is like, okay, if they could pull this off, like it would be a hit. And I kind of wish VinFast had led with this, because like I think there are many questions about VinFast, like many, many, many and a lot of reasons to not 100% trust what that company says. We've seen that in the quality of their SUVs, but like they've come to America with like a lineup of like large SUVs at like 50, 60 grand, 70 grand or whatever. Like they're more expensive cars, but if they had started with this thing, hey, here's our $20,000 EV, and then it becomes a mega hit and scaled up from there, like that makes them pretty plausible. And like, that's kind of the playbook that like Toyota and Honda and Hyundai and Kia ran in this country for a long time. That's like how they got their start here. One of our readers, Carl San Diego, that VinFast would work. Everyone laughed at the Beetle when it launched. Amen. Like if they had led with this, that's very interesting to me. But knowing all we know about VinFast, like we have far more reasons to be skeptical than not. But this concept itself, this idea, somebody's got to run with it because we need affordable small EVs in this country.
Now, Lacey, as a serial EV SUV pickup truck owner, would you have one of these just to put in say, the load bed of your Rivian?
I love it. It's so cute. The only problem for me is that it's 125 miles of range. And I feel like the minimum on the market should be like 2 to 250. That's just my take because, you know, we saw the MX-30, or I think that's what it was called, that Mazda that was like
130 miles of range.
Low range. And and it was a little bit more expensive, but I don't know. Is it cute enough for people to buy it for such little range?
To counter the range
at that price, I think it probably is, but maybe not for the US, but definitely for like here as a city car.
For sure.
I mean, the Honda E, vast expense aside, they pegged the range at 124 miles, so similar. It never did 124 miles, obviously, but the idea of if everyone had a plug at home and it was just for bimbling around town, like in London, you see a few Honda E's because you can stick it on your drive in the burbs. You can drive in and out of town.
And one lives next door to me in Big Bad Peckham.
Does it?
Yeah.
What colour is it?
It's white. And I'm always astounded by how big it is.
Yeah, like, huge.
I thought that car was like the size of a Mini, and it's like
it's really not.
It could have eaten my car.
But for America, perhaps not for the enormous sprawling cities. For LA, it would be useless because LA is massive. But for New York, maybe if you have it on the island of Manhattan to bimble over to the different bits of it, could that be a US application, or am I just really hoping that some minor European sensibility might rub off?
I wouldn't advise you to drive in Manhattan in any car. I treat that like going to war. Like you do it only when you have to, and you expect very bad things to happen as a result.
Right.
Yeah. So, but for cities in America, like there would be a use for that.
I just don't think anywhere where winter happens, because it's just like you're going to cut on range even further in any kind of winter. And again, like you said, the reliability and the things that we know about VinFast right now is not necessarily great. You know what I've been just like dying over is for Ford to make the two-door Bronco. And now that will solve all my problems. I'll have a good service network and it'll be cute as a button, and it'll probably have decent range. So I'll wait for that.
Well, aside from the VF3, the Lecky Jimny, which I really want a Jimny, but I don't want to look at the used prices because they're insane. VinFast also brought
Alex for sure. Like you, I could, you know, a Jimny driving man of adventure.
Oh hell yeah! I want they did it in an amazing Stabilo highlighter yellow, and I want one. Because when they were on that side, petrol aside, when they were new, they were like £13,000. Which was doable, could have happily sunk myself into one of them. Anyway, VinFast also brought something called the Wild, which is a big old pickup. It's 209 inches long, 79 inches wide. It's got a mid-gate that will extend the load bay. It's got a panoramic roof. It looks kind of cool. But whether or not it'll actually make it to the US, we don't know. It's got digital side mirrors like an Audi e-tron, which means they'll be mostly irritating, I imagine. It does look pretty badass. And it does look like the kind of vehicle that would suit the US quite neatly. So what do we think, friends?
I saw it in person. also very concept-y. It's like they made a Honda Ridgeline with some concept car bits, and it's like, okay. I mean, again, I think that especially in this case, like the doubts I have about this company are override this truck design a little bit. Like we'll see, but I mean, I don't know.
It's cool they gave it like a wrestling intro here because it's also fake.
Oh, the Jabberwockies came out. Did you guys see that? The Jabberwockies came out and they were like dancing and stuff. Do you know the Jabberwockies? Like the dance group?
I thought you were talking about the yay oldie English myth of the Jabberwocky that is a thing in the north of England.
Please tell me someone's like knows what I'm talking about.
No. Patrick, there's a crazy person on the podcast. What is that talking from? About mythical beasts dancing in front of a pickup truck?
Canterbury Tales?
Something like that.
It was very funny. I will say VinFast is one of those. It's got like 10 vehicles that they said that they're going to come out with. And I think there's maybe two on the market at this stage, the 8 and maybe the 9. If someone correct me if I'm wrong. But not in America, but the VF8 for sure in America. But I believe they've got a lot of concepts or products that they said that they're going to come out with and just giving us more. And who knows if they'll ever, how far they'll get. I know they just brought on like 5 different dealers, though. Like they're doing the direct stores in California that they've had, but then they just signed on with some dealer groups across the country. There's, I believe it was 5 of them. So they're at least like still tracking to expand here.
They're still doing the do. Well, okay, so we don't know if it'll come out in the US. We don't know if it'll come out. But, as you said, Lacey, copy-paste, and it's hunting the Jabberwocky, apparently.
Lewis Carroll poem, by the way. I Googled it behind the scenes.
It's a what, sorry?
Lewis Carroll poem.
Right. On to potentially more reliable fare. There is so much to talk about this. One bit of it really confuses me. But Mercedes basically went to CES and went software. They had some spinning electric G-Wagons, which I saw on socials, which looked cool. But let's kind of go through this bit by bit. Patrick, you were the man on the scene. So it now has a smarter voice control. So when you say, MBOS, so when you say, hey, Mercedes, it's got a smarter chip to cloud, so it can basically do all the things for you more easily. It's got ChatGPT in it, like VW, which I saw a British journalist did a sort of demo of ChatGPT in the new Golf GTI, and it was hit and miss. They also say it will talk to you with empathy and it will predict your mood, so it can have a bit of a chat with you, and it also has emotions from the off. It's got 4 emotions, which is kind of giving me Lieutenant Commander Data vibes, post emotion ship. So I'm guessing like 4 extremes. So Patrick, you've seen this. Let's start with this and then we'll move on to the next bit. So what basically what is going on?
Saw it, but didn't get to sample it, sadly. I was a guest of Mercedes-Benz at CES. Lovely people. Thank you for the hospitality. But like their big push this year was software. You know, the stuff that we've seen from them, like with the Hyperscreen and the EQ cars, it turns out that's just the start and that they are going for this whole immersive in-car experience. AI is a big part of that. Right now, Mercedes actually has one of the best voice control systems on the market. Like if you say, hey, Mercedes, and ask it to do something, like my experience, like 9 out of 10 times, it knocks it out of the park. It's very good. And they're like, you ain't seen nothing yet, because the AI assist that they're trying to come up with is like, you could say, hey, Mercedes, I'm hungry. It's like, okay, here's a list of restaurants around you. Or like, hey, Mercedes, I hate being stuck in traffic. And the car's like, dude, tell me about it. The word they kept using is human-like. I think that Volkswagen's use that too. I think that, you know, that's this kind of goes for the vibe they're going for with artificial intelligence in cars. And I think that part of this is like, these cars are getting so complicated and they're so packed with features. And how do you control them, operate them when you're driving and not get distracted or kill someone or yourself? And I think that talking the car and asking it to do what you want is going to be a big part of the future. And I know BMW in particular also has a big focus on voice controls. So I'm excited to see what they do with it. We'll have more to say about human-like AI a little bit later on here too, but it's good groundwork for that. And then they showed that off. That software is going to drop later this year. And then they also showed us a very, very interesting system that Will.i.am, Black Eyed Peas frontman design. Alex, you want to tee that one up?
I want to get to that after I ask you about Surround Nav. So I don't if you're on the stream, you can see the images. If you go to Inside EVs and check it out, essentially Mercedes has used the Unity game engine to show you what the car sees. And I know it's that there's systems like it on I know Tesla has it, and I think Hyundai has it, where it'll show you, you know, there's a lorry up ahead, there's a bicycle there, there's a pedestrian there, there's a car there. But it will show you and visualize for you what cameras see, what LiDAR sees, what the sensors see. Kind of two questions, really. One, is it as pretty as it looks? And two, what's the point of it? Because people have eyes.
Yeah, it does look really pretty. And I had the same reaction as you when I saw this. I was like, but I have eyes. And one is like many people don't have eyes, and there's nothing wrong with that. But also,
they shouldn't be behind the wheel of a car if they don't have
eyes. Probably not. Not the best at that, which, you know, nothing against them. But the way that this works is like, I think we're all by now familiar with that, the way that Tesla visualizes things on its central touchscreen. Imagine that times like a million, but it looks further ahead than you can see. It visualizes the city, it visualizes pedestrians, it visualizes parking spaces and restaurants. Like, imagine if you shot a drone into the sky and it had like a bird's eye view of things. Like if you feed all of the car's sensory and camera data into a visualization of stuff that around you that's more than your eyes can see, you've got a better vantage point of everything than other drivers do, which I think is really neat. Right. Why wouldn't you try and visualize all of that data coming into the car that it sees and knows about that you never really interact with? And so you can try that out at some point. It's very clever.
All right. I'm converted.
I think that is just like a way to like advance the advanced driver assist system so that it will start to be able to label things so that it can detect what it, you know, needs to avoid or how to behave in this scenario. So that seems to me like another step forward to kind of prep for that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. A lot of this stuff we're talking about, it makes sense in the context of how they all want like L4 autonomy, level full autonomy one day. You know, the room on wheels, the seats that face each other, AI you talk to, steering wheels that retract, like on that Honda, like this visualization, it's all this stuff is just they're trying to lay the groundwork for the days when cars drive themselves and you need something to do inside the car. Besides read a book, that's boring.
Well, speaking of things to do inside the car, I'm going to skip over the next two bits real quick. But there's a new, it will now stream all the things. And most interestingly, you can play Puzzle Bubble in your car, which I had that on my phone when I was at school. Mercedes also showed off the CLA concept, which promises 466 miles of WLTP range, 5.2 miles per kilowatt hour efficiency. But also in my notes here, I said it looks constipated. And now you can't unsee that. Sorry, friends. But yes, Sound Drive. When I read about this, I went a bit cross-eyed. So I'm going to throw this to Patrick real quick. But from what I understand, Will.i.am has created the MBUX or MBUX Sound Drive. So cars come with looping tracks that react to how the car is driven. The quote that he said is, "The Autobahn is now the Autoband," which is just beautiful. The thing I'm going to is, it sounds like reactive music in video games when you like walk through a room and then all of a sudden baddies appear, or stuff happens when you do things. Patrick, please explain, because I'm so confused. And did you get to meet Will.i.am?
He was at a dinner I was at, but he sat at a different table than me. So no, I didn't. I don't take it personally from him, but I hope I get to meet him someday. No, this was really rad. And I was like you, I rolled my eyes when I first heard about it, but he gets up there. Will.i.am does. He's one of their brand ambassadors. And he's like, you know, I got brought on to do that in 2020, but I'm really into cars and I'm really into tech and I wanted to give them ideas. I kept my mouth shut for a long time. And then one day I had a meeting with Mercedes, like, what if we did this? And they were really into it. And the way it works, SoundDrive is like these cars, the EQ cars, the electric cars, come preloaded with 16 songs that play on an endless loop. And when you start out, they start out low, just the bass line, quiet. But then as you drive, more layers get added to the song and it starts maybe moving faster depending on the song. So it's like you're like a DJ set, like an EDM thing. Like it starts out small and then things get added to it over time as you drive the car, as you accelerate, as you turn left and right, as you brake. And then when you come to a stop, it might slow down again. And it's just this endlessly customizable way of mixing the song depending on how you're driving. And we did it to a Doja Cat song. And like I did to one of will.i.am's song, that one that he did with Britney Spears a couple years ago. And I got to tell you, it was unbelievably fun to try this. And one of the few times I've had in forever where I felt like I was experiencing something really different in a car. And I know it's a gimmick. I know it's silly. It's not a reason to buy a Mercedes over another kind of car, but I had a blast. And they're making this a whole open platform. Like it could go to other cars, other artists could put these kinds of songs on to be customized. Will.i.am talked about like Easter eggs and songs. Like if you're driving to a song that's like about like New York City, like there might be, if you go to a certain place, it'll do something in the car with the song. He's like, he's really into this. And he came off so sincere, like the professional musician that he is. He's like, I've like created a new platform for making music that no one's ever done before. And like, there's endless potential for it, or it's going to fall flat. Nobody's going to care. And like that, either of those things could happen. But like, I will tell you, it really won me over. And it just felt so fun and different. And I hope they do something cool with it. Cause there's a lot of potential here, you know, to like, imagine your favorite driving song that you like play and it reacts differently depending on it's on your favorite driving road, you know, like that's the stuff they're going for. And it was neat. It was something I was a fan. You know,
you're saying I could have a version of Tribute by Tenacious D on an endless loop down the 805.
That's the song you'd pick.
I mean, I love Tenacious D.
Oh yeah.
And you get to the right corner and press the hill, rock. Yeah, exactly. I'm into that.
And it's like once you get the full throttle, it's like full blast. It's like, you know, it's like Britney Spears screaming at you, just like ah, you know. It's like it was. I don't know. I was
you guys and your taste of music.
It's either that or what I've been listening to at the moment, Muse. Actually, Muse would be quite good with that. Hazel and Lacey, what are your thoughts on this? Do you think it will be super fun, super gimmicky? Do you think it would encourage people to drive a little outside of the norm so they can hear their favorite bit again?
So there's like, this is a really long-term thing, but for a long time, when radios were first in cars, there was a perception that you would be a distracted driver if you was listening to music. And it actually turned out that people were much more focused drivers if they were listening to music. And like, there's been scientific study after scientific study, but like these things started coming out in like the late 80s. And it's like basically when car radios started to become a thing that you could reasonably expect a lot of people on the road to have. So yeah, I think this is interesting. I do think it's fun. It's the kind of thing where you probably won't switch it on all the time, but like every now and then, if you're on a long road trip, then like, yeah, this could be entertaining. On the other hand, if you're on a long road trip, you're probably not doing it for a lot, like
no.
So
it might just be a low level.
I mean, basically, we all kind of dream of that cinematic soundtrack, and sometimes things pair up perfectly, like your playlist pairs perfectly with what you're driving through. And what this is really ideal for is something like driving a Grand Tourer through like the Riviera on like a beautiful road that's just winding enough, and there's cliffs and like whatever,
like that,
and there's probably like similar routes in California or whatever. Yeah,
yeah,
anything like that. And it will be a fantastic novelty that car journalists will enthuse about during a first drive. But
us fickle.
I don't know how much this is actually going to like transform anyone's life as a thing.
Lacey, well, you road trip almost everywhere all the time. Would you use it?
Yeah, I mean, I love music. I think it's like an interesting thing. Like, I applaud Mercedes for like doing something different. And I think that shows that they're willing to kind of go on the edges in the fray of exploring these types of like technology. I don't know. It's like weird, but it's also cool at the same time. I don't know if it's very practical for me. But I could see some people really like enjoying this, especially obviously musicians and stuff like that, or people who really appreciate like the fundamentals of like creating something like that. But yeah, I don't know. I think it is kind of gimmicky, but I believe Patrick in when if you experience it, it's probably a whole different thing. And that's just like hard to translate. Like, how do you translate something like that in besides saying it's a really cool thing without experiencing it. So
they had, I'll also say briefly, I had a question I asked one of their engineers about like, why are you trying this stuff? You know, it's just, it is kind of gimmicky and you know, you're sort of throwing stuff at the wall, see what sticks. And they get a good answer, which is like, look, if you get rid of all that at our company, you lose that creative spark, you lose the ability to make ideas that could be the next big bang, the next big thing. It's like, we have to try stuff. We have to encourage this creative spirit here or we're dead. Yep. And I was like, that's a fantastic answer. Maybe every buyer is not going to warm up to all this stuff, but it's like, we do need that spirit at any company, really, I think, you know, so more power to them.
Well, let's leave CES there. We've got two more things to talk about. So let's jump on to Tesla. The 24. Have you heard of Tesla?
Yeah.
It's a startup. the Highland Model 3 is now available in the US. Currently, drive and long range all-wheel drive. No performance variants yet. Prices are the same: $38,990 to $45,000. 990 base for each of those cars. You do get the $7,500 tax credit if you get a lease. Default color is stealth gray, but you can have white, blue, black, or ultra red if you want to pay money. 18-inch wheel standard, 19-inch optional. Black interior standard, $1,000 will get you a white interior. You get enhanced autopilot for $6,000. Full self-driving capability beta for 12,000. Interestingly, the ranges have shifted a tiny bit. So the rear drive car gets the same 272 miles, but the on 18-inch wheels, the all-wheel drive car gets 8 miles more than its predecessor, 341 miles. On 19-inch wheels, the rear drive car loses 19 miles at 248. And the all-wheel drive car loses 10, getting 305. Top speeds drop from 140, 145 to 125. 0-60 times are the same, 5.8 and 4.2 seconds. Max charging capability, 170 kilowatts for the rear drive, 250 for the all-wheel drive. But they do say it'll get 175 miles in 15 minutes, up from 147 previously. Weights, the rear drive car is 29 pounds heavier at 3891. The all-wheel drive car is 4 pounds lighter at 430 pounds. You can order now, deliveries January, February, and obviously it's got the new Highland face. Are we excited for the new model three, friends? Ooh, some words. I mean, Patrick, your look of indifference is quite the thing.
It's fine. I've seen it in person in Europe. It visually, it's a nice improvement from Model 3. I think it'll help juice the sales a bit because that was starting to slow for a lot of reasons. It's not, we've been over this on the podcast a few times, so it's like not worth rehashing in full, but like, it's not a mega comprehensive refresh. It's not a new car. I think they need new cars, new lineup. That's not as far flung as the Cybertruck.
Yeah.
So it's a bit of a band-aid. I'm sure this will get the Model Y will get a similar treatment this year. And then probably, if I had to guess, next year that will come to the North America too. But if you're going to get a Model 3, this is your option now. It's got some nice upgrades. It's not a game changer, but good for them for finally shipping it our way. So yeah.
Cool. Well, now we have an EV Formula E Motorsport AI story. There's a whole big crossover. So a couple of days ago, Mahindra's Formula E team announced to great fanfare that it had a new artificial intelligence ambassador at Ava Beyond Reality. Their Instagram post announcing Ava said she's our go-to sustainable tech champ, navigating the cutting edge of innovation to create positive change. Plus, she's passionate about Formula E and is here to share some exciting BTS content from the championship over the season. Now, normally this would be a good. They've got someone in who can talk about sustainability, Formula E, and artificial intelligence, all super relevant things, except Ava was made up. Ava was, in fact, an AI influencer. So rather than hiring an actual AI an actual person to do the job, of which, I mean, motorsport influencers are everywhere. There are so many people so passionate about the sport that want to extol its great virtues. Instead, Mahindra decided it was going to make it up, have a sort of an entity with, you know, a face, an aesthetically pleasing face, so that, you know, people would be drawn to it rather than just get a normal human being. And understandably, the internet was cross, myself included. I was livid about it. The comments were just it was a war zone, apart from Formula E driver Lucas Degrassi, who said that is cool and then got flamed for it. It was quite incredible, the vitriol and the dislike for it. 2 days later, or 24 hours later, Mahindra killed it. They heard what the people said. The statement that came out from Frederick Bertrand, the CEO team principal, was nurturing diversity, inclusion, and innovation is at the heart of Mahindra Racing. Our AI influencer program was designed with this innovation in mind. Your comments hold tremendous value. We have listened, understood, and decided to discontinue the project. Now, I've spoken to lots of people on different viewpoints of this. Someone who works in motorsport was like, you know, fair play. They actually turned around and went, yeah, hands up, we got it wrong. Other people don't think it was enough. I personally wonder whether they're going to replace Ava with an actual human influencer, someone, you know, who can extol these virtues, learn and actually deliver messages on a human scale, because that's kind of what they wanted to do with Ava, but they controlled the whole thing. I mean, they had a whole profile for Ava, which showed, product placements, and I really like these shoes and these yellow light sunglasses are the best. And it was just a bit weird. It was so odd. Hazel, as our resident Formula E expert, and, you know, you have experience with the teams and with the motorsport environment, what do you think?
And you're a woman.
Yeah. I think there's three key things that are very sad about this. One of which is that this is the most press coverage that Formula E has got for anything for ages. And yes, it's so negative. You know, Formula E, as a freelancer who worked in Formula E for a very long time, I know you get minus number views on articles about Formula E. You get a handful of stuff on videos. I was pretty good at getting engagement on it on social media, but it's hard out there. Like, you know, Mahindra got over 1,000 comments on this post, and that is by far going to be like the most hashtag engagement that they've got on anything for a long time. So that is sad, because the first Formula E race of the season, free practice one, is today. And more people are going to have seen this weak AI image than will watch that, I guarantee. And that's unfortunate, because it's a great series, but it does tend to only get press when it's negative. The other thing is that Mahindra is a genuinely diverse team that has always had good female representation. Mahindra is an enormous car manufacturer or vehicle manufacturer, actually. They don't, it's the volume of cars to other things is slightly altered. But they've been in Formula E since day one. They're a successful team. They don't have huge budgets. They don't have huge motorsport backgrounds, the same as something like, you know, Mercedes or Porsche. But they have always pushed the technology. They've pushed forward efficiency. They've pushed forward transfer. And they've had women in the car in terms of like IRL human influencers and promoted genuine diversity. They are an Indian team. They are a proudly Indian team from the entire time they've been in the sport. They're kind of a model team in that respect. Yeah. Exactly what you would want Formula E to be, which is challenger brands that don't come from these like enormous weighty European backgrounds where they're, you know, coming in and being all like, we've won Le Mans 19 times or whatever. Yeah. I really like Mahindra as a team. They do good stuff. And there's also enormously creative and very clever people working there. One of the absolute best photographers in the world, full stop, and certainly in motorsport, Lou Johnson, does their imagery, and she is brilliant. Like, go and look at her photos. Like, visually, Mahindra are incredible. And so for them to use what looks like the most mid freebie use AI generator and put in like sustainability tech girlfriend, basically, because Ava did not look real. Ava looked like a very poorly generated AI creature.
Which is sort of strangely, like, you know, you get those pictures online of like, see how many times you can face tune yourself.
Yeah, I mean, she just looks like we've all tried to read an article about something where you're swiping away loads of like, get an AI girlfriend adverts, like, and she looks like that. So that's another sad thing, that this has unfortunately buried a huge amount of good work that Mahindra have done. And the third thing is, God, the motorsport thinks so little of women.
Yes.
That they invented
a pretty girl
because the idea that you could actually have a woman who is a sustainability technology, sustainable technology expert. I'm not really making a case for myself here. is that unbelievable that you just make something up? I personally don't think this is particularly from Mahindra. I assume it's some sponsor tie-up. It's obviously made by some inept marketing agency. And I actually think the worst thing is I and a bunch of my friends in motorsport all agree this was, if you look at the posts, Ava's chatting about clothes swaps and sleep cycles and stuff, which is particularly unbelievable for an AI. And I think this was actually conceived to appeal to women, which is so misguided and so obviously not done by a woman or anyone who has ever spoken to a woman that it's mind-boggling. Like, whatever creative agency is behind this deserves to be slapped into bankruptcy.
Oblivion.
Yeah. Yeah, it's just embarrassing and it's sad. And, you know, at the same time, I do think, like, influencer programs are rubbish anyway. Formula E spends thousands and thousands and thousands of pounds on influencers to get very little views. There are plenty of pretty white girls making rubbish, bland content about Formula E who are paid to do it. You don't need to make one up. They're in the garages already taking photos of lunch in VIP. Like,
I've been that person. Yeah,
I would just say, you know, this might be controversial, but I actually don't disagree with having like an AI type of a personality thing. But the fact that they chose to make it this, like, I don't even know how to say this, but like the cliche of like, oh, women are interested in clothes and fashion and all this stuff. And then try to be like, oh, I'm a hot chick talking about, you know, more. It's just like this like cliche that is so cringe that it's like so outdated. It's like, why are you trying to like continue to push that narrative that that's what female in motorsport is/should be? Like, I don't care if it could have been like a panda bear, absolutely, or a dog or a man or whatever. Like, they could have picked anything to be this like AI character, and it would have been like, fine. Like, I think someone even mentioned that in the comments.
Even if she was female coded, she could have been like extraordinary looking, like alien kind of, or something. Instead of like, she looks like the computer generated equivalent of like something you buy in an adult store.
Yeah, it's
what they were trying to do. That's the problem. Yeah. That's the problem.
We were saying before we went live, it's like Joy from Blade Runner 2048 or whatever it is. It's like it's the AI girlfriend who just goes, "Yes, I am here for you to make your to make you feel good."
All I'll add is this. At the Mercedes event this week, one of the executives was talking about their AI assistant in that car we were just talking about. And they were like, we considered giving it a human avatar and a human face, but they decided against it because it's too creepy. And it's like, no, they made the right call there. So as we see today.
Yeah. I mean, the internet was
just, it's not just motorsport. It's like just automotive in general. Like, why are we keep like pushing these tropes? Like, please stop.
Yeah, as an industry, motorsport and automotive, just be better. Like, this shouldn't have gotten as far as it has. I'm glad they killed it, and they killed it quickly. They reacted, but the fact it got that far is a worry. Now we've got that off our chest. I will be cross about it for months. But on that, we've had a little bit more than our hour. So it is time for us to all go our respective ways for another week. As ever, thank you all so much for listening or watching. If you have any comments or you want to talk to us directly, do get in touch via contact@insideevs.com. Huge thanks to our man behind the scenes, Danny Howard. Thank you, Danny, who's made it all seamless and beautiful. But for now, that is goodbye from Patrick George.
Thanks, everybody.
Lacey, Miss Go Electric. She's also waving. And Hazel Southwell. We will see you all next week for even more news and hopefully less content about hateful AIs and thoughtless motorsport teams. Have a good week, friends, and we will see you soon.
Make good decisions.
Make good decisions.